All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast, a podcast that connects you to the higher hiring power you deserve. So today we're going to talk to you about the pharmaceutical industry and how we feel like it's getting ready. Well, I feel like it's going to get disrupted. Doc over here feels like, you know, it might not necessarily get disruptive, but it's definitely going, you know, in different directions than what it currently is now. And what we both feel to be in a better direction for us as consumers and those who need, you know, medical attention and medical resources in order to, you know, keep the quality of life and improve our quality of life. But before we go into that in depth, I know we have a few more people who are joining us here on this platform, and where I just want to make sure you know who we are. Yes, we are cousins. So if you see our name is the bottom, my name is Mark Komar, and that's Dr. William Komar. Just so you know a little bit about, you know, why we are feeling as if we have the right to sit here and talk to you guys and bring the information that we bring to you. I am the owner of Kane Ross LLC staffing firm, and we staff IT professionals into corporations, anywhere from dark data scientists to machine learning experts to, you know, front end full stack engineers, anything in the IT sector, we staff. We have clients with American Express. We have clients with data centers, with Citizens Bank. We work with a lot of different companies, and we're growing. So I am blessed to have that company for the past 5 or 6 years. And we are the parent company to Higher Power Tech. And our thought was to be able to have discussion around the career path, whether you're trying to, you know, get into a resume, you know, create a resume, whether you're trying to procure a new job, whether you're trying to move into different positions. We need to have discussion around, you know, careers, because honestly, beyond, you know, having a family, or if you're single out here traveling the world, whatever it may be doing, your career in business and your career in your upward trajectory or North Star of your career growth is 90% of, you know, how we take care of ourselves, right? So I think we don't have enough discussion around the things that are going to allow us to be a holistic approach to taking care of our mental, emotional, physical self. Also, while we're trying to, you know, show companies our particular skill set, whatever it may be, you know, whatever our certifications are, whatever our, you know, degree might be in, we want to make sure we have a complete approach to taking care of ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, and we want to have a discussion around that. Instead of just saying, hey, you know, you did bad on this resume, or you didn't, you know, do a great job on this interview, or, you know, you've been working your position for the past three or four years and you don't feel like you have an upward trajectory and you're stressed out. We know these things are happening, but we don't have discussion around how to work through this. So we kind of want to be therapeutic in this situation, but also to educate in this situation, right? And we were able to recently acquire Doc here and be a part of our team. And so I would like for him just to real quick go over again what he brings to Higher Power Tech and to Kane Ross from his expertise in helping us grow and develop, and what he's bringing to you. So go ahead, Doc. You want to just give him a quick background?
Yes, sir. So Dr. William Komar, nice to meet all of you again, and or see all of you again, and meet those of you that are new. Yeah, PhD biochemist from the University of Akron in Akron, Ohio. And, you know, I've spent time as a professor for a few years teaching organic chemistry, and then worked in a couple corporate labs, you know, one a startup and one just giant, you know, laboratory. So been around science all my life, man. So, you know, I'm just here to shed some light on a few of these subjects and maybe make them a little bit more relatable to people who are looking on the outside in. And maybe even help those that are already inside the field dealing with, you know, biotech or something like that, to help guide them along their journey as they try to figure out what it is exactly they want to get into, what niche they want to head towards. So that's what I'm here for. It's just to help out and shed a bit of light on the topic.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you, man. And we're happy to have you. So as we are trying to educate you all, again, this is a unique time right now with technology, biochemistry, everything. It's a unique time because, you know, AI has become a lot more mainstream, you know, thanks to ChatGPT over the past 2 years or so, you know, taking, you know, headways. Now you have Microsoft doing, you know, it's what it's doing with, what's the name of the, what they're doing on their platform is AI. I can't remember right now. Sorry for brain fart, guys. But Copilot. There we go. Copilot, right? Sorry. Copilot. So people are getting nervous though, right? Jobs are being shifted around because of technology. But the reason why we're bringing the topic of pharmaceuticals, and we're going to bring different industries to you here soon, because my summation of where, you know, technology merges with new industries is that there's another level of disruption that's coming beyond just jobs being shifted from, you know, human activity or, you know, service industry. It is going to more technology, but even in that, there are new positions and new jobs being created within that, right? And so we want to look at the industries that are pivoting or getting ready, in my terminology, getting ready to be disrupted, right? Like the pharmaceutical industry. And what better industry to talk about, because we have Doc here, right? Biochemistry technology merging. They're looking to do more genetic isolation for individual research for, you know, because right now what Doc and I have talked about, if you look at pharmaceuticals right now, most drugs are a hit or miss. And like he likes to say, I love how he says, cocktail?
Yeah, cocktail. Right? Most drugs are a cocktail that these pharmaceutical companies are offering. So it's like a blanket, you know? So they make this thing that they're like, all right, we're not necessarily sure. We have an idea. We're not necessarily sure. Mm-hmm. Make this cocktail, right? We give this to you. We see everything that it doesn't affect and everything that it does affect. And then they're able to whittle away, you know, bits and pieces to try to target better, you know, what they need to service.
Right. So they're looking to do more genetic profiling for individual care, which is going to be huge.
Right.
In my opinion, that's going to make for a major disruption, because you're going to have companies now that instead of giving this large cocktail of blank one size fits all, you know, because right now every commercial you hear, all the side effects that come along with this drug, because again, it's one size fits all. They don't know. They're trying to cover everything and say, well, you know, for you, it might cause anal leakage and this, that, and the other, right? Like, wait,
not
what?
Anal leakage, man. Every time I see that in a little like fine print or if I hear it, like, may cause apnea, sleep apnea, may cause. So I'm like, whoa, go back to that. What was that second one? You say anal.
Like, rewind. right. Well, and you know, we laugh about it, but that's because that's literally where it is right now. But with the advances that are happening with, you know, biochemistry, with the merging of AI, deep diving into, you know, R&D that they're, you know, research and development that they're doing, they're able to now sequence, like you were saying, more direct to the individual's genetic profile, right?
It would be more patient-centered instead of like generic, you know, it's more patient-centered diagnosis, yeah.
Right. So if that's the case, you're going to have companies that are going to say, hey, Samantha, you're suffering from this particular disease or ailment. We have, you know, coded and looked at your genetic profile. We know we can target it, you know, within this amount of time using this particular, you know, drug and this particular, you know, piece of equipment that's going to allow you to have either, if not eradicate the situation, right, at least a better quality of life, you know, because again, you'll have to worry about the anal leakage when you're trying to solve this problem, because that's going to be the side effect, right?
Samantha, so that's going better, but anal leakage might be a thing, okay? Plain and simple, man. It's just, you know.
No. I'm sorry. Why? I'm not meaning to laugh at that, because but it's sad, because that's the truth. Because that is the truth. It's like why is it? But so when you think about a company that's creating something that can go straight to the problem, straight to the solution, this is going to be huge in the pharmaceutical industry. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's also going to affect the dynamics of, again, economics of how the companies are going to make money, how they're going to distribute the drugs, you know, who's, you know, capitalizing financially in the back end, right? So that's going to be a disruption. With that being said, though, that means more jobs are going to be created. That means more opportunities are going to be created, right? And what I want you all to think about, and not so much just the excitement of, which I think is awesome, because I always look at the glass half full, not half empty, right? It's a two-pronged effect to me that's positive. One, if you can target me specifically for who I am, African-American male, middle age, right, or getting older, you know, a little bit about being in my 50s here in another few years, if you could target me specifically, right? If you could target me specifically and you can get straight to what my situation is without me having to, first off, fork over all this continual money, because we all know pharmaceutical industry and the drug, you know, and healthcare was the first subscription service, you know, ever implemented, because that's how they keep everybody broke, right? Is we're going to give you this cocktail, never fix your problem, fix your ailments or situations, but we want you to keep on coming back to us, right? So now you're telling me you can fix my situation and you're addressing me directly. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that company. You know, so that's number one. And number two, you're taking care of my health, you know, in a better way than what we were doing before, right? Just kind of like spitballing and hoping we hit, you know, throwing darts at the dartboard, hope yeah, something stick, right? So, Doc, and all that being said, you don't think it's necessarily going to be a disruption. You think it's going to be more of what coming out of the
when pipe? When I hear the word disruption, you know, to me, it sounds like I imagine like these giant pharmaceutical companies just stop the line. So, you know, everything has to stop, right? And so now they have to turn and pivot and like change all these things. And so in my head, I don't think it'll be a disruption, but what I feel like it'll take more time, right? So the more that these patient-derived diagnostics, you know, pop up and the better that they get at targeting specifically what is needed per patient, it'll change the pharmaceutical company, but I think it'll change them for the better. And there's kind of two things to it. So one thing is, yes, okay, so now they're used to making, like we said, this blanket cocktail of a mixture to help everyone. And so now it's like, okay, so we don't need to add all of this. We don't need to add all of that because Samantha here only has this particular issue. So now they can better target that particular issue. But the problem is in order to get it that fine-tuned, they need to do more research. So their R&D departments are going to be, you know, more involved. They're going to be kicking into overtime, right? So this is where, when you mentioned job creation, right, these pharmaceutical companies will need to hire a bigger, like more substantial R&D department. So they're going to bring in more people that can help with this, because it's going to take a lot of people in order to get this research going, get more of an understanding and help whittle down so they can target specifically what they're looking for. Right. So I don't necessarily see a disruption, but I do see like a prolonged kind of moment in time where it's going to take a bit of time. Like, we understand that this is all that you need, but now we need to figure out how to target this. There's a receptor in the body. If I can go into it just a little bit, I won't go far. There's a thing called GPCRs, right? These are G protein coupled receptors in the body. And so these are normally targeted by different, you know, drugs and things like that. So they bind, they bind to like one of the seven transmembranes. So it's a transmembrane as it goes through the membranous portion of a cell. So they bind, it sends a signal through, and then now you're able to do like it targets or it tells, you know, another GPCR or another portion inside the body to do this, right? And so normally you'll have this, the binding is, it can be specific, which is called lock and key. Then it can also just be like, I'm close to the area that I need to be. Let's go ahead and you know, function. And so you may target this whole GPCR, but it might be that now they can make it so that the drugs that they're developing specifically target one of these transmembrane hits, right? So instead of the entire thing, like they could potentially... Excuse me, because, you know, it still has to be created, but they can potentially target one of these TM membranes. And so with that, it would make it more specific, make it more specified towards each particular, you know, patient. But things like that, it takes time, and things like that take money, you know? So my only thought is it's not that it would be disrupted. Again, it'll create more jobs. But the one thing that it might also do is it might run up the price for drugs to come. You know, if you you go and buy a car, right? Like, I don't know what your dream car is, but you go drop some money on a car, and let's say there's 10 of them on the lot, then cool, you just got a car. It is what it is. You and the other 9 people that buy the same car just paid the same amount of money, right? But what if you want your name in the, you know, monogrammed in the seats? You want
and that real leather. That real leather. It was a real
yeah,
leather.
Yeah, not the pleather, but you want the real leather, right?
Right. You want that custom.
When you sit in it next time you're in Spain and you get them leather seats and it burns the hell out the back of your arms, right? But it looks good though, right? But because it's more tailored, you end up spending more money for that car, right?
That price goes up, right?
So right. I think that's where things will be headed. And it's, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, like, of course, it's going to get more expensive before it gets more affordable. Right. And that's
right.
I hate to say that, but like, I feel like it's just what it is, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, that's economics. I mean, that's business. That's economics. Yeah, that's how it happens. You know, until it becomes, you know, the mainstream and you know, over time, resources and materials or, you know, all that stuff, you know, start to come down. But in the initial, yes, the price goes up because, like you said, you got to pay for all the, you know, like I said, R&D, the data scientists, the bioinformatics, you know, specialists that you're bringing in, engineers you're bringing in, more, you know, more teams to develop, you know, and sift through the information and break it down. And yeah, in the initial, it's going to go up, right? But I guess for me, because disruption doesn't necessarily mean that it's a time window on when that's going to happen, because you're saying it's going to take time, right? And I agree with you. It is going to take a little more time, you know, because it's a lot of, you're talking about people's health, you're talking about, you know, the biochemistry of the body, you know, the physiology of the body, and, you know, the cells that you so eloquently broke down that take time to understand, you know, how are we going to target this and how can we, and then whatever you do target, you know, you solve one problem, 10 more come up, right? Because now it's something else is popping up, right? Which is why we're saying it takes more on research. But I still feel like at a certain point within the next, you know, 36 months to, you know, 5 years or so, as they go through the development of targeting these specific genetic, you know, specificity of the genetic makeups of individuals, as they are, prices do go up, after they start figuring out, you know, a couple failures, a couple successes, a couple more successes, right? At some point within there, that's when the disruption is going to happen. You hear what I'm saying? You get, like, so disruption doesn't mean, because even with Airbnb, it took Airbnb a minute, right, before it really took on, right? They were out, you know, they were doing their thing in San Francisco. They were having, you know, sample, you know, they had a few apartments, you know, that they were talking with in California, right? But it took about 2 or 3 years, right, before it started spreading across the nation and then, you know, really taking over into the world, right? It's the same kind of concept. It does, but once it did hit, it disrupted the, you know, hospitality service industry, right? Hotel industry, right? Same with Uber. Uber was the same way, right? It took a few years for it to really take off, right? It was out, 2012 or something like that, 2013 or 2011, 2012, something like that. But it took, you know, 3 or 4 years for iterations to, you know, for it to, you know, work through the kinks, you know, app wasn't working right, wasn't picking up, you know, people correctly, you know, drop call, all that. Right? You know, prices were a little bit higher in the initial, right? Because they had to, you know, pay back investors and, you know, stock, you know, share. But eventually it worked out and it disrupted the, you know,
taxi service.
Taxi service, right? So I still maintain and sustain that I think the disruption is going to happen. And it needs to happen within the pharmaceutical realm, because like you said, if right now we're throwing cocktail or, you know, one size fits all, which we know that doesn't work. Shoot, you work for a company, right? You worked for companies before. And I think even currently now, you can speak to the other company that you worked for before. Weren't you guys doing something similar to trying to figure out that
process? Yeah. So both of the, you know, both my more recent companies, they were doing more of a patient-centered focus, right? So with diagnostics, one of the companies is doing what's called liquid profiling. So they were taking blood samples and looking to see, because as a tumor sits, right, the thought is that as blood passes along bits and portions of the tumor is going to break off into the bloodstream. So their thought is that right. maybe if they draw blood and they're able to, mm-hmm. you know, like really look at the different portions of these tumors that have broken off into the bloodstream, they can target it better with, they use NGS, so next-gen sequencing, in order to target it better and help with diagnosis of this is, you know, the type or stage of cancer that you have, you should probably go this route. And then the company, you know, more recent company is they're doing a similar thing, but they're using actual, you know, they're taking the tissue samples, you know, and using that to process it against a panel that they've developed in order to look at the different biomarkers. And then again, it's called companion diagnostics. So it's they give the report to a pathologist and they're like, hey, based on our findings, this is what we think you should treat. And so the pathologist already has an idea, right, of the direction that they want to go in. And so now using the information that they got from this company, they're able to like better target and focus on, you know, diagnosing the patient. So yeah, more patient derived, patient focused diagnostics.
Okay. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. See, and that's, I mean, I appreciate the fact that technology is allowing for further growth in areas that we definitely need as humans, you know, and humanity. You know, life expectancy has over the past, you know, 50, 60, 70 years continued to, you know, grow, right? You know, at one point we didn't, you know, it was times a couple hundred years ago, you can live past age, people didn't live past age of 40, right? It was like that.
They thought they were like, oh, wow, you hit 22 years old. Next year you gonna die. Like, whoa, gee. Hold on.
It was like, dang, I thought now at 22, you're like, you a baby. You still got, you know, another 16 years, 70 years to go, hopefully, you know what I'm saying? Which I think, you know, so let me ask you this, Doc, you know, a sidebar, because my thing is I keep telling people, what's your time that you want to be off this earth, age-wise? Man, what's your age? Let me ask you that.
You know, I say that, I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, I'm going to live to be 120. And she's like, 100?
Okay,
yeah, I'm like, 120. Yeah, 120, but like, I want to be, you know, like cognizant. Like, I still want to walk around, do my thing. Like, I don't want to be like just shriveled up in a corner somewhere and someone has to spoon feed me every, like,
right.
But 120, you know, my grandmother is about to turn 100 this year. You know what I'm saying? And so, and she gets outside every day, goes, works in her garden, you know, so I'm saying if she can hit 100, you know, and I have more time to like really focus down and things like that, I'm like, why can't I? Let me hit 120, you know what I'm saying? And when I'm done, donate me to science. So people be like, man, like, look at this happy dude, man. Like, how he lived to 120? Let's find out. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
well, part of it's going to be that smile, because this is his energy all the time, ladies and gentlemen. He's always smiling. So
the creepiest thing, if I'm sitting on someone's autopsy table at 120 years old like this.
Still smiling. Like, still cheating.
Just cover his face. Man, this dude is creeping me out, man. But
Rick and Morty block you in with the cheese on your face.
That's it. So 120, man. 120 for me. What do you think?
Okay. And so I'm with you on that. And it's remember, before I go into mine real quick, since 120, did you have that thought that you could live to 120 once you got into your medical research and into your doctor's studies and all that stuff? Or was that something you had said, you know, back in high school, back in, you know, that you would want to be into your, or is that something you came up with later?
Yes. I never considered it, right? I never really thought about it. But then as I started getting older, you know, I guess the thought of, you know, living a full life, because you've experienced now as you get older, those of you who unfortunately have, you've experienced death, right? You've seen maybe some of your friends from high school. You know, I just talked to this dude like last week, you know what I'm saying? One of my cousins, he had a heart attack at like between 40, 45 that took him, you know, he was fit. Mm-hmm. I mean, fit. Right. So it's like, oh, you know, so you start to think about, you know, your own mortality and things like that. And then, yeah. and then you, you know, you just get into the thought of like, well, what would be comfortable? You know, what would be like, okay, yeah, I get it, you know? And so 120 is just a number that it's like, it's just ridiculous enough that it could actually be it, right? And so for me, like, right. You know, so it's like, yeah, 120 would be solid. Like, you know, I could sit there and be that old dude that tells you stories from like hella generations, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I remember back in 2020, and people would be like, 2020?
Right, like, what was that like?
You know, they're like, what were the 1900s like? And you're like, bro, I was only in the 1900s for 15 years. Like, calm it down, man. They like that.
But to them, they're like, wait, what? Like, even think about that. Like, when you talk about, you know, grandma, she like, anything she says, 100, like, you like early 19, like, what? So she 100, she'd be 1925, yeah. Right?
And it's like.
Yeah, so 1920, she knew about the 1920s. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, so it's you know, give me 120. Give me a smooth 120. I'll be with it.
Okay. So I appreciate you sharing. So mine has always been 150. And it's funny because, like, even when I was...
I said, you got to one-up me, but no, I'm kidding. Go ahead, go.
No, mine has always been, since I can remember, 150. And then as I started to get older and, you know, getting to different reading and, you know, different conversations and, you know, different scientists that are talking different things and, you know, different researchers. Peter Diamantis, he does a good job. He has a longevity podcast and, you know, where he talks about, you know, health and new things that are coming out. And I've always been in health and fitness, right? And all that stuff. That was where I started my career before I pivoted into the staffing and all that. But one thing I've always thought about is just that 150, and, you know, barring any major, you know, catastrophic situation or, you know, even, you know, I think I can live to that age and not, like you said, you know, hopefully be as clear of, you know, mind and body as possible, right? It will never be what we are at this particular age, but with everything that's coming down the pike though, and this is why I'm loving biochemistry. I'm loving the advances they're making in genetic, modifications and research that they're doing, like you're talking about, because what my thought was always, if I can keep myself healthy, like I don't take any medicines, I don't take any, you know, any drugs, you know, to that extent, right? I take care of myself 99% of the time, right? In a healthy way. I said, well, if I can maintain a certain health around up and say 80 or 90 years old naturally, then when I can now mesh all these new, medical advances and stuff into that, right? It should just boost me, if you will, to allow me to have a certain quality of life up until 150. That's how I always thought about it, right? And so that's why I'm excited about these advances. Right. What do you think?
All right. So, we're obviously, I mean, you and I know we are blood related, right? Our fathers yep, are brothers. Yep. So it's like yep, we yep. get it. And it was, you know, a time of, you know, like us both growing up and finding ourselves. So, you know, we missed some conversation here or there. But to hear you say, like, you know, I don't take any, like, anything and blah, blah, blah. You try to do it naturally. And I'm sitting here like, bro, I don't even take cough medicine because... This may be like the most sacrilegious thing as a biochemist, but like, you know, like I don't even take cough medicine. You know, I try not to because I'm like, right. just give me like some tea or something, you know, like, yep. Or maybe, you know,
give me some water, let me sweat it out. Give me some water, let me sweat it out.
A little whiskey in there, you know what I'm saying? But when, you know, cause when you hit the hot water and then the whiskey and you let the vapors come in and just work its way through, it soothes your throat already, so like a start. So I try my best to avoid things like, you know, just even like cough syrup. I don't take painkillers, things like that if I'm in it. Because I'm like, my body will adapt. It'll get used to it, you know? And so I try my best to do what I can to let my body just naturally heal it until, like, maybe, like you said, if it gets to a point where it's like, okay, I really can't. You know, if I was like in my father's shoes, you know, as a diabetic who has to take, you know, these insulin shots, then I would understand it. Like, you kind of really need that in order to live and survive, right? So it's exactly. Yeah, it's like that's just so funny, like to hear you say it. I'm like, bro, I do the same thing, man. Like I just let me try to naturally do it. And you know,
actually, the physiology, ladies and gentlemen, we are cousins, like you said, blood cousins. But yeah, it's just funny. We for the I would say what is it, about a decade, we were kind of separate, doing our own things, right? Like you know, a little plus, right? So I didn't know that he's like me in that sense that I don't take NyQuil, I don't take DayQuil. If I get any type of cold, any type of sickness, like you said, give me some chamomile, some green tea, echinacea, cool. If not, I will get some water. I will get underneath the sheets. I'll sweat it out, and I don't get sick. But maybe once a year, maybe.
Oh if my that, God!
Maybe if that, right, like I don't. We don't get sick. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so it's like what you're saying is funny because I'm 100% on the same page as you. This is why I keep saying, if you eat healthy, if you take care of yourself, and this is why we're bringing this platform to you guys. And we have a course coming out here in the next 2 months that we're going to teach you how to go through the process of life, meaning not to get so enamored and focused on your attainment of your goal, but how do you get enamored with the process of doing the small things without all the societal demands of or the advertisements of do this, put this in here, do this, you know, and things that are external trying to influence your internal if you have the internal structure set up the proper way. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we want to teach you how to do that. And he and I have an approach that we had to hone and sharpen because we had to live life. We had to go through. He's about to be, can I say your age? Is that okay? You good with that?
Every day right. I'm alive is a good day for me, man. So the day you stop aging, you're dead. So I'm my cool man. With it, man.
So he's 39 at the airing of this episode, about to be 40 here shortly. And I'm 43, and this year I'll be 44. But like you said, I'm excited. Like I say my age happily. I don't give a care if I look it or not. I don't care. If I look it, okay, fine. I don't know what that looks like. You know what I'm saying? But my point is we're living a life based off of having gone through struggles, having gone through things, but even going through those things, we had principles in place that, you know, we were reading books, you know, we were educating ourselves, we were decompressing even while being stressed out, you know, we were crying when we need to cry, we reached out for help, we need to help. Then we went back and did the work, right? These are all part of process, but not getting so caught up in the frustration or the stress of it, but allowing the process to be just that. And in that, working through it the right way so we can grow through it the right way, if that makes sense. And there's ways to do this, ladies and gentlemen. So that way, he can be 120, you know, and be healthy at 120, you know, and I can be 150, you know, once we get to those areas and get to, you know, but we claim it now because we do the things on a daily basis now that allow us to have the quality of life that we have, right? Cause you know, he's a father of two little ones, you know, he's a great husband to a beautiful wife. Right. But that comes with responsibility, that comes with stresses. But if you see, he's constantly always smiling. He's constantly in a great energy and great state because he takes care of himself. And I'll let him explain that later on in other episodes. We'll get more in depth than that. But just to get back to the original point, living a long life, I think is possible. The pharmaceutical industry is going to help that process, by, you know, dwindling down and getting better with its approach to being more individual patient care focused as opposed to right now, you know, one size fits all, right? Merging that with a healthy quality lifestyle will allow you to live longer and live better. But also too, the main thing we want you to focus on too, that we start off this whole conversation with, is the fact that there's going to be more job opportunities. There's going to be more growth opportunities because this industry is massive. It is going to go through a major shift. Eventually, there will be major disruption. Eventually, says Doc, it will be made. Eventually, it's going to take time. Right. But Doc is absolutely correct. It'll take time to do that. But in that time frame is the process where it will create more opportunity for, you know, bioinformatics, you know, dark data scientists, data researchers, you know, anything within the biochemistry field. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, there's opportunity for you to get employed, gainfully employed, and be in careers that will have longevity. You don't have to worry so much about AI taking my job. No, It's our job to know what industries will create job opportunities and then get prepared for that. This is when they say luck, you know, luck is, you know, preparation meets opportunity. That creates luck. Well, create your own goddamn luck by listening to what we're talking about, doing research now that we've given you sparks of thought on, okay, pharmaceutical industry, bioinformatics. If you don't know what that is, go look at our last episode. Doc, you talked about, what was the position? Technician positions, because there's going to be a lot of technician positions that are going to be opening up in the pharmaceutical industry. This is why we're bringing this conversation to you. We can't keep talking about the fear of what's coming and not talk about how we can actually engage ourselves into it. So I'll let you go ahead and say what
you have to say. It's not to scare you, because some people will hyperfixate on like the, oh my God, technology's taking over. Like, it's not going to be, what's the movie, I Am Legend? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to be sitting here. First of all, you're not Will Smith, okay? Like, calm down. It's a movie. Obviously technology is getting better. You know, things are developing. Like, it's not to say that you just, like, everything's gone for humans. Like, just relax. You know, you need these technological advances. And then now it's your turn to actually, like, go out there and help and provide, you know, what's needed in order to create these things, right? So technology can only do so much. Like, we are the ones who program technology. Right. We're the ones that are developing all these things. So don't be afraid. You know what I'm saying? Embrace technology, right? Learn a little bit. If you can't type, go take a typing course or something. But, you know, embrace technology,
right?
And then see how you can be of value and help, you know, with the development of these new drugs and variants and things like that, right?
Perfectly stated. I totally agree with you. Look, guys, like, subscribe, comment, talk with us. We want to talk with you guys. We want to, you know, converse. We want to, you know, break open deeper conversations. We want to get topics from you guys that you want to talk about, whether it be industry, whether it be, you know, positions within the science realm, or whether it be industry, you know, positions within IT that you have questions about and where you can position yourself. If you're looking to get a job out there, come talk to me. I can, my company, that's what we do. We help staff. But also on top of that, we want to make sure we have conversation that allows you to have a comfortable space to come to just keep your thoughts rolling in a positive direction with all the, you know, naysayers out there about where things are going. Again, glass half full, not half empty. When you think about it that way, this is what's going to allow you to live to 120 or whatever your 115 or, you know, 90, whatever your thing is, or 150, 160, whatever your thing is, right? You want to keep that positive, because I heard too, real quick before I close out, some research was done where they said, and it's very loose what I'm giving you, but people who thought more optimistic lived like 15% longer than those who don't, right?
King of optimism.
Yes, you are, and I love it. But even with that, it's not naive. It's optimism. It's two different things, right? Because I know sometimes people feel like, well, you're skipping past the reality. No, the thing is, if he's a freaking doctor, guys, he's a scientist. So he actually breaks that. You heard him go through the genetic breakdown. So, you know, he knows what's going on in life. And he's not being obtuse to the reality at hand. He's saying, okay, let me get educated. And once you're educated and then take action with that education, and now that's where knowledge comes into play, right? As, you know, the application of the education you're getting, then you can live a better life. Right. Then you can live the quality life you're looking for. And it's not the attainment of the material stuff. That's not it. It's the day to day processes we're trying to help improve. Okay. So thank you for joining us, guys. Doc, anything you want to leave them with real quick?
No, man. It was nice. Of course, every time we do this, it's nice chit chatting with y'all. Like you said, like, subscribe, send us some questions. What do you want us to talk about? And fund your local research. It's important. Okay, that's it.
Oh, I like that. All right, we'll leave that at that. Go fund the local research. All right, go find it and fund it. All right, we'll talk shortly, guys. Thanks for joining us.